It's time now for Optimal Health with Dr. Christopher Calipay. Dr. Calipay is an osteopathic physician, board certified in family practice and chelation therapy, anti-aging medicine. Dr. Calipay specializes in reconstructive and neurotherapy for chronic pain and musculoskeletal disorders. And he's achieved fellowship certification for stem cell therapy. Dr. Calipay's office number in Long Island is 516-794-0404. We will repeat that number throughout the show. Now, here's Dr. Christopher Calipay.
Welcome, friends, and thank you for listening to the Optimal Health Program today. Hope all is well. I wanted to talk a little bit about diagnosing underlying causes of problems and how many patients present with a variety of different confusing symptoms, and how a doctor has to really be the detective researcher in order to figure out what's really going on. There's so many things that present in such a vague fashion. It may take a variety of tests and sometimes a couple of years to really figure out what's happening. And by that, I'm saying people that come in with numbness and tingling in their foot or their feet or their hand, some of those people can progress to having MS. Now, that may take 3 or 4 years before enough other symptoms occur so that people and doctors will really come upon that diagnosis. And it may take a while before the MRI shows the abnormalities that we associate with MS. So that's why a lot of people are confused, and they can go doctor to doctor, and the diagnosis is not made right on the spot. Nobody presents with every sign or symptom of a disease to the doctor at, you know, the first visit. So it's obviously expected for people to be upset and to be worried when they can't figure out what's going on. The doctor can't really give them a full answer, but that's because some of these disorders, they need to show more of what's happening or create more of the symptom to be able to make the diagnosis. In a similar way, you know, fatigue can be caused by 50 different things. And some people have fatigue from low hormones or low vitamins or viruses or heavy metals, damaging hormone production or neurotransmitter production. Some people have fatigue from low blood sugar. So, you know, we have to, as patients, I think it's important to write down a good list of your symptoms and try to correlate them, or write down the time they're occurring and see if it's related to having something to eat or different foods. So the more information you bring to the doctor, the better, because then he can really get a better handle on what's going on. And of course, my approach is different. It's unique because we're looking at vitamins, minerals, hormones, heavy metals. Look at the entire picture. But it always helps to have an outline of what's occurring. And if you do put that outline together and it takes you a week to get your visit or to get to see the doctor, you have a week's worth of information you could document. That always helps. So it's very important that individuals write down as much as they can about their symptoms and the timing and the severity so that the doctor can get a better handle on what's happening. Some people are waking up in the middle of the night and they feel anxious and tired and they can't sleep. And, you know, most doctors might say, here, you know, take the sleeping pill, take an anti-anxiety pill. But in reality, in most cases where I've seen that, people are having this little snack when they go to bed, and it's either a cookie or some sort of carb or sugary thing, and that's causing them to have a higher blood sugar, dump insulin, and to have low blood sugar, and that's why they feel anxious and they wake up. And then those individuals, when they stop eating that snack, or if we tell them to have half of a protein shake that's low carb at night before they go to bed, they're fine. So there are a lot of natural things and simple things that can be done once you really understand what the causes are. And of course, it is all about the underlying causes of the problems that you have. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so right now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222, and we'll get you up on the air. Let's go to our article section of the program. Some great research, antioxidants and atrial fibrillation. This is curious, very interesting. It's 5 different studies. This is a meta-analysis utilizing antioxidants in patients that had atrial fibrillation and even those who went under cardiac surgery. So it appears that using vitamin C and some antioxidants was more effective than conventional treatment with beta blockers for those individuals. So Once again, I reiterate, I've said it a million times, your body has requirements for vitamins and minerals. You have to meet those requirements because that will allow your body to work best. That intake of vitamins, which are food for your cells, creates great results inside your cells. And so in correcting your hormones will give you better organ function because the hormones are chemical messengers to control and to help the organs. Higher vitamin B6 levels are linked to far better glucose response in those who are ill. So very important. This is from Clinical Nutrition, a very highly respected journal. It's a cross-sectional study involving patients in the surgical ICU. Those who are deficient in B6, which you would expect all the time because most people are deficient in B6 anyway. And of course, people that get into the ICU would be very deficient. They looked at blood sugar levels in those people. So those who are very deficient, blood sugar levels were all over the place, were elevated. Those who had better B6 levels had a tighter zone of their blood sugar when tested. So important to keep all the vitamins on board, of course. So I took about chromium, citrochrome. I talk about a variety of different nutrients that can help to stabilize blood sugar levels. B6 as well may be one of them. Magnesium may be another. So low carbs, correcting your vitamins, correcting your hormones, doing some exercise, you can get a good jump on bringing down sugar, cholesterol, triglycerides. If a person is diabetic, of course, then we have to address the underlying fact that the pancreas has become tired and it's not making enough insulin. That may be because of a high carbohydrate intake over years, or it may be because of heavy metals getting in to damage the pancreas and it can't make the insulin. But then, of course, that's why we might recommend using stem cell therapy. And there are some great videos on the website specific to that. Vitamin D, very important. Once again, and every time I get on the computer and I have day-to-day for years, is important for diabetics. Interesting research showing that with patients who have type 1 diabetes, severe vitamin D deficiency under 30 independently predicts all-cause mortality, which could be heart attack, stroke, vascular damage in the blood vessels, nerve damage. So very important, once again, to test your vitamin levels, and certainly vitamin D, but I would do it a few times a year to make sure that with what you're eating and what you're taking, you're really within the right zone. Phone lines are open once again, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to our first caller, Diane. Hi there, how are you? How can I help you?
Yes, doctor. I'm really interested in the stem cells for my husband.
Yeah.
He has spinal stenosis and degenerated discs. He had an epidural a while ago, which seemed to help. But, of course, I didn't really care for that kind of a treatment.
Well, the epidural is just putting a steroid into that area, into the spinal area, so it just decreases inflammation, so it makes the body less aware of the discomfort from the inflammatory cascade. Now, spinal stenosis, there, as I see it, are two different types. One would be inside the canal where the cord is. Another would be where the nerve roots exit. So stenosis is narrowing. So okay. If there's stenosis in the middle where your spinal cord goes from your brain down through the bone, you know, to your tailbone, to the coccyx, that narrowing, whether it's arthritic change or overgrowth of the bone, may have to be cut away so that that cord does not have pressure or a smaller amount of surface to exist in. If we talk about the nerve roots that come off the spinal cord, they exist in a foramen, which is just a combination of a space from the bottom part of the upper vertebrae and the top part of the lower vertebrae, and that nerve has to exist through there. If your discs are nice and thick and plump, as they would be in a kid or a teenager or an adult, that nerve has a lot of space and room to function. But a lot of people over time, when their back becomes weak or they have spasm in the muscles, ligaments become weak, and now there's more grinding on the vertebrae onto the disc, you're going to have narrowing of that space. We've had lots of patients that have had back and neck problems, and we've done a variety of things, prolotherapy, platelet-rich plasma, and PRP.
What about
from your blood. Stem cells as well. We've done intravenous stem cells on diabetic patients, and they've said that their back and neck pain's gone away. We've done intravenous stem cells on people that have a variety of other diseases, Parkinson's, MS, lupus, rheumatoid, and we've also added on the injections into the back, and they've had some pretty significant results. So I think that that may be a great option because there's no surgical component to it.
Right, there's he no doesn't want surgery.
Anesthesia risk. So between doing some of that, stem cells, PRP, I might do some traction or recommend some physical therapy. We've done a lot of that, and people get good results with that. So that might be a good option.
Okay, I'm going to call for an appointment.
Great. Love to see you. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
So I like the combined, of course, and obviously, the combined modalities to try to get as much benefit as you can. For people that are trying to, for example, lower their blood sugar or cholesterol, one thing is not going to change the whole picture. I'd like them to do low carbs, do their walking every day, half hour, 45 minutes, ride a bike indoor, ride a bike outside, whatever you want to do, walk around the block, correct declining hormones, and correct your vitamins. That'll give you your greatest control of how to burn fat and sugar. But one technique does not change the picture. And people who go on pills and pills and pills and pills, the pill might bring the number down transiently or temporarily, but then the problem is still there and the underlying process gets worse. If you fix all of the underlying issues, then you've really fixed the entire picture. So that's why we talk about the combination of these things. I love people going for physical therapy for many reasons, and of course, one of the most important reasons is you have a highly trained person evaluating your range of motion and your function, and they can see how bad you are when you come in, and they can document range of motion, document your ability. You can pedal the bike for a longer period of time. So they're really scrutinizing and writing down, documenting your improvement. For people to say, oh, I do that at home. You can't really do it at home because you have to have an outside person seeing and documenting your benefit. So that's why I like physical therapy. Of course, it's a great way to work your muscles and to loosen up areas that are stiff and tight. When I recommend physical therapy, it usually is a couple of weeks after platelet-rich plasma or stem cell therapy because I want that therapy to gain a nice solid foothold. And as that happens, then the physical therapy is the perfect, you know, next step. Of course, we may recommend vitamin shots, vitamin IVs. It could be a variety of things depending upon what your body shows us. There's never one underlying cause for the problems that people present with. And I've been doing this so long, I've seen so many thousand patients. I know this to be true. We always were working on a variety of different things. Of course, much more so we're working on changing diet because more people are having reactions to foods, whether it's allergy to a chemical in the food, or the fact that the food is genetically modified. All of these things can play a role. So we have to look at the potential for all of them. A person might be allergic to gluten, or they may not. Some people are allergic to wheat, but not the gluten. Some people are allergic to the chemical in the food, but they're not reacting to the food itself when we do a skin test. So if the food creates a problem, we take the food out and watch to see how much improvement the patient gets. So we're looking at a variety of different parameters and tracking them time to time. That's the most important way to evaluate patients. Once again, phone lines are open, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222, and we'll get your question up on the air. Vitamin C has always been critically important for your body in just about every way. There have been some great studies on vitamin C enhancing immune response, quadrupling your killer cells. Vitamin C is important for the lining of your blood vessels as well. This is a great study, and it looks at a cross-sectional study of involving both lean and obese men. Those that were obese were found to have a decrease in flow in their blood vessels. It's called flow-mediated dilation. So the dilation allows more blood to pass through. So if you're putting fluid through a little tube or a big tube, the big tube can carry more flow. So the reduction in the flow is 21% lower than men who are lean. Also, those individuals who are overweight had a 51% lower vitamin C intake and 38% lower vitamin C concentrations in their blood, in the plasma. And of course, vitamin C is a wonderful antioxidant. It's a wonderful free radical. It's a major component of collagen. So it's one of those vitamins you want to have a lot of for many reasons. So they're talking about this as being an important correlation between vitamin C being in your blood and helping to enhance blood flow. Now, this harkens back to a wonderful meeting I had with probably the most brilliant person that was alive up until a few years ago. This is Linus Pauling. I went out to a Cancer Treatment Centers of America conference, and Linus Pauling was there and gave a lecture, and we were in a large theater, and there had to be 400, 500 doctors. And as he got up to speak, he, received an unbelievable applause, and appropriately so. He was one of the most brilliant people I think that's ever lived. He had two unshared Nobel Prizes. And when he got up to speak, he was talking about a variety of different things, and we were listening to every word intently. And his ability to speak and his diction, choice of words, his presentation of information without reading anything off of a paper, this is all off the top of his head. And remember, he was clearly one of the greatest geniuses of all time. He was talking about how certain animals have more heart disease, and he said humans, pigs, and monkeys have far greater heart disease than any other animal, and most animals don't get plaque buildup in their blood vessels. And he first theorized that this was because we don't synthesize vitamin C. And the other animals that do synthesize vitamin C, it becomes a very soft but protective sort of Teflon lining on the lining of the blood vessels. And that's why these creatures don't get adherence and plaque and all the vascular damage that we get. And of course, he proved that, and he went through a bunch of studies, and we were just completely flabbergasted that something like that made so much of a difference. And that's why he was such a big proponent of vitamin C throughout his entire life. But again, I had the opportunity to listen to him lecture. And as the lecture, broke up, I left my books and my notes and my notepad at the seat that I was in. And I went around the back of the hotel to the restaurant to get a bite to eat for lunch. And I see Linus Pauling sitting in the corner. So I walked over, in my own way. And I said, Dr. Pauling, would it be okay if I sat down, and had lunch with you and would have a chat? And he said, of course, son, of course. So here I am sitting with Linus Pauling. And I don't consider myself to be brilliant in any way, shape, or form, but I consider myself to be, eager and smart and willing to learn. And I sat there with him, and I said, wow, his brain is just, it's just a completely different brain. Because I've never met anybody that was that intelligent in my entire life. And I don't think most other people have throughout history. But within about 20 minutes, the other doctors that were at the conference came back to have a bite to eat. And they saw Linus Pauling talking to me, and then they all gathered around. So we had another very just amazing, little intimate chat with about 50 of the doctors. So, it was one of the more important things, I think, that got me more excited about nutrition and nutritional medicine and really understanding the work that some doctors have done and researchers have done worldwide. So it was a wonderful thing. So as this article says, vitamin C is critically important for the lining of your blood vessels. And Linus Pauling said that many, many years ago. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Let's see what else we have here that's interesting. Vitamin D deficiency, inflammatory bowel disease. Another great research study in looking at patients with inflammatory bowel disease, Crohn's of at least 15 years or average 15 years, and 101 people, 403 with Crohn's, 101 with also ulcerative colitis, average duration 10.9 years. Over 50% were found to be deficient in vitamin D, some having severe vitamin D deficiency. Well, they're going to have every vitamin deficiency because the bowel's inflamed, you're not absorbing well, you're not getting the food broken down, you're not getting food broken down in vitamins to the tiniest particles to be absorbed, in through the tiny little openings, the holes in the villi. So every vitamin is going to be deficient. But they're saying that this was vitamin D deficiency is common and is independently associated with greater disease activity in the inflammatory bowel disorders. Of course, when we take a patient and sit down and we go over their history and examine them, and we talk about inflammatory bowel disorder, which has many subcategories like Crohn's or ulcerative colitis, we always want to test them for vitamins and minerals. Always, always want to test them for allergy, because delayed reactions to foods can really harm the bowel. always want to test for infection. Bacteria, viruses, a random, you know, there are hundreds of things that can live in your gut on a normal basis. And when that balance is upset, that also can affect and cause inflammation. And then there are other things like heavy metals can get into the tissues and create damage. So we want to look at a variety of these things. As well, vascular problems, plaque in blood vessels. Well, you have a lot of blood vessels in and around and wrapping around your intestines. So if there is inflammation, plaque there from the inside of the blood vessel, that's also a big issue or problem. So we want to be able to find all these things and work on each one. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, you can do so right now. Let's go to Frank in Manasquan. Hi there. How are you?
Good. My wife has CCL, and she's had it for quite a while.
What did you say, CCL? And,
is it CCL or CLL?
CLL. Okay. Yeah, chronic lymphocytic leukemia.
Yes. Now, she's had it for quite a while, and she's went through everything, chemo, this and that. Now, right now, she's stable, and every month we get IVIG every month. And, you know, so okay. far, I don't know, what's the pro and con of that IVIG?
Well, the gamma globulin is giving you immune components from someone else. So they'll filter a person's blood and take the extracts out that are immune stimulants that help your body fight things. So that's really what it is and always has been. So I think it's a good technique to keep your body strong when in many cases your body can't make those immune cells to fight infection or fight cancer. In some cases, doctors might even use stem cell therapy for these cancers. Now that would have to be a doctor who's in the hospital all the time, you know, a doctor, hospital doctor only. These are typically hematologists that can extract the bone marrow. They would give you treatment with either chemo or radiation and then give you back your own stem cells to help to cure the cancer. That's been going on for many years. So the doctor that you may be speaking to or someone who may do that in a hospital would be the best person to ask about whether that's appropriate for your case or not or whether you can do that. But they've been using stem cells against cancer forever, for many, many years.
Right,
I think
now,
also the other benefits, we have people that do vitamin C IVs that get good results with that. That can enhance your immune response. It really depends upon your vitamin levels, because if your body is a little weak because the vitamins are low or hormones are declining, you want to correct that.
Does IVIG can it cause infections?
Typically, it helps kill infections. So it would be pretty rare that a mechanism that helps you kill things would allow infections to exist.
She has constant problem of infections in her sinus.
Well, then we have to evaluate that. In other words, I can't tell you to take a pill or do this or do that. I'd rather be able to see what's causing it. It could be that allergy is causing inflammation in the sinuses or the nasal passages, and that makes it easier for an infection to get stuck there. You can do mucus collections from the nose. You can try to do nasal swabs to see if you can find a bacteria, virus, etc., and see what's causing it. But at the end of the day, you still want to do things to make your immune system strong to kill it. So she may have a component of allergy and infection, but you have to test.
Okay, so IVIG is basically good.
I believe it's good. I think it can work for a variety of immune dysfunction where your body can't make those immune components anymore. But you have to figure out why she's getting these other infections and she can't kill them. Gamma globulin is not giving you a whole new immune system like you're a kid and killing every possible thing that comes along. So you really need to look at the underlying reasons why she's getting some of these infections in the sinuses. I would test for allergy. I would check her vitamins. I'd do the big blood test we do and learn more about the scenario so we can give you more answers.
That'd be good. Thank
Alrighty.
You very much.
Thank you so much for the call. If you'd like, take a look at the website, www.drcal.net, www.drcal.net. A lot of great information, videos there for you. Okay, phone lines are open, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Sharon in New Jersey. How are you?
Hi, really love your show. I think
Thank you
give out fabulous information.
Thank you.
And it's great that you could sit with Linus Pauling.
It was the craziest thing ever, yeah.
That's so rare.
Of course, I was a big fan at the time, because so imagine me going to a lecture and he's there, and then sitting down having lunch with him, which is even more
incredible.
You know, amazing, yeah.
Incredible. How much do you recommend that people take on a daily basis?
Well, it depends upon their blood test. Of course, Linus Pauling was a proponent of 15,000, you know, milligrams and higher. When your blood test comes back when you're low in vitamin C, we might start ramping you up and take 1,000 milligrams with each meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Then go to the blood and see how much you've come up, and then we might go to 2,000 milligrams, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Typically, people hover in that zone and do pretty well. Are there some people who go higher or need to go higher? Yeah. Are there some people who need to do a vitamin IV with 50 or 75,000 milligrams of vitamin C? Yeah. So it really depends upon the picture. And remember, blood test is the best comment on what you need or you don't need. Some people try random numbers of this and that, and they kind of do all sorts of things. When I see them, I mean, go over their blood test, they can't believe that 500 milligrams of vitamin C is not enough once a day.
Oh,
so
okay.
You've got to bring it up based on your blood test.
Okay, and then one more question, please. Is it safe to take chromium, chromium nicotinate glycinate? I got this diet supplement, and I'm just afraid of the chromium.
Well, chromium is good for you. I think chromium stabilizes blood sugar, so there are different forms of chromium out there. Originally, GTF chromium, chromium picolinate, then chromium polynicotinate. I think the latest one, the chromium polynicotinate, is very good for a lot of people. We recommend it. It's good for sugar stabilization. For some people, it makes them less craving for foods that have sugar. So, but remember, you go on a diet, you've got to get your blood test done for vitamins, because if you go on the diet and now you're deficient, you're creating a problem rather than helping it. So when I talk about diet, we have people come in, do the full blood test, look at all their risk factors, look at parameters, and then put them on a low-carb diet and show them either how to cook low-carb or eat low-carb. We recommend a book that's been out forever, The Low-Carb Bible, written by a nurse, I think, named Ward, Elizabeth Ward. It's a great book. It compares different diets and why the low-carb diet's great. It's got over 150 recipes. I think it's out of print, but you can get it online for like a buck. So I think it's a great reference.
Okay, super. Thank you so much. I really,
great.
Really think it's great you give out this information. Thank you very much.
I appreciate
much.
That. You're very kind. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
For those of you who have insurance problems, probably the best person that I know to speak to is Joyce Panetta at Affiliated Agency. I've known her for many years. She does all of my insurance work. For those of you that have health insurance problems or questions, or you want to find the right plan, if you need property or casualty insurance, she can help you as well. Her phone number is 516-576-0166, 516-576-0166. I kind of talked her into having me announce her on the program here because I hear people that have insurance problems all day long, mostly medical insurance issues. Of course, what's happened over the past few years, being forced into a plan and losing the plan that you had that was a good plan before, is not a fair thing, but that's what happened to thousands, maybe millions of people. So certainly she's a great person to call to get an idea as to what your options are and what you can do. Joyce Panetta at Affiliated Agency, 516-576-0166. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so now, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. You know, I've been talking about green tea extract for years because so much research comes out about it being beneficial against a variety of cancers, a dozen cancers, especially gastric. So an interesting study looking at grape extract, grapeseed extract, green tea, L-carnitine, helps those people that have metabolic disorders. And this is a great study. They looked at individuals that had high body weight and high fat percentage. They looked at people eating a high-fat diet. They looked at people having a low-carb diet. Those that had grape extract, green tea extract, and L-carnitine had a better suppression in the lipids, plasma lipids, cholesterol, triglycerides, a better decrease in appetite, and had a better ability to burn down the fats and burn down sugar and lose the weight. So there are some simple, natural things that can do this. We might also use chromium in there. We might also use Google lipid. We might also use any number of the simple nutrients to help to decrease your craving and to help to burn the sugars and fats. So typically a blood test will tell We'll walk you through the low-carb diet, have you do the exercise, correct what may be declining hormones or vitamins, and then you're really maximizing your picture. You're creating a far better result. And when people tell me I feel like I'm 20 years younger, and this happens all the time, it's because they've wandered so far away from that path or line they're supposed to be on. They've wandered far away from that, and bringing them back to that creates benefit. They have significant improvement in function. If a person's got a knee problem, we work on the knee, whether it's prolo, platelet-rich plasma, or stem cell therapy, and now they can walk around the block and further help the fat and sugar burning, great. You know, we could work on that too. So it's always a combination of things that we use to achieve the best end result. Once again, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. You can call in and ask a question. Great research on vitamin C and N-acetylcysteine. And this is published in the International Journal of Hematology. This was an important comment on vitamin C and N-acetylcysteine, which becomes glutathione, working together to help to repair damaged nerve cells. So this research type of research has been ongoing for many years. There are a couple of big universities in Japan and in Europe, England and France, Germany, that are doing research on neuropathy. And you typically see alpha-lipoic acid, vitamin C, N-acetylcysteine, glutathione within these studies. So I think they're all important. When we see patients that have neuropathy, one of the things we'll talk about is alpha-lipoic acid intravenously. There's even literature in traditional medicine that says alpha-lipoic acid intravenously can help to decrease the pain and discomfort for neuropathy. And in some people, it decreases it so much, it really doesn't bother the bunch anymore. And yet there are other patients that are diabetic when we do stem cell therapy. We'll have significant change in their blood sugar levels. We can watch to see how much sugar is coming down, watch to see how much pancreas is insulin is being made by the pancreas, and also watch to see neuropathy change. We could also inject stem cells down the leg or around the foot where the neuropathy exists so the stem cells can migrate to the nerves. So a variety of different things I think that we can do beyond what medications can do for you. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. If you'd like to call and do so now, don't wait for the end of the program. Let's go to Deborah. Hi there, how are you?
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I have been having, with the heat, it's bothering my breathing.
Uh-huh.
And I try to, you know, I pretty much take care of myself. I don't do any drugs.
Do you have any issues with your lungs, like allergies, or have you been a smoker?
No.
Because usually it's much worse on people who have inflammation in their lungs, either from allergy, asthma, or smoking.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't smoke, and I don't really think I have allergies, really, to speak of.
I try to eat organic.
I try to, you know.
You may not realize it, but we do have lots of patients that have a delayed reaction to foods, so they don't have swelling of the lips when they eat the food, but it can cause antibody binding that can take a week before some sort of symptom occurs. So I wouldn't rule that out. I would look to that to see whether or not that's part of the picture. Are you taking any medications for anything?
No, I don't take anything. I take, okay, you know, vitamins and minerals and antioxidants.
And your weight is good? You're in with good weight range?
I think I'm too thin.
Too thin? Okay.
Thin. I'm under. I was always, you know, like a certain weight for a long time, and then I think I'm a little too thin.
What's caused you to lose the weight, and you haven't been able to gain it back?
No, not at all.
Sometimes there are mechanical reasons. You could have inflammation in your gut. You wouldn't necessarily feel it, but you may not be absorbing your vitamins and minerals. Yeah. Or calories, etc. So it might be that if your magnesium potassium is lower, then the smooth muscle around your airways might be tighter. And that's why it may be harder for you to do activities when you need to tell your airways and your blood vessels to open up to accommodate the activity. I mean, your brain does that. Maybe the signal's trying to get there, but the activity is not happening because you're mineral deficient. That's possible. So I would do the same thing. And of course, if you can't gain the weight, something is holding you back from absorbing and gaining the weight. I suppose you're trying to, you know, bring in more food, more calories, more good foods.
Yeah, I don't Hopefully.
That's why I would do a digestive absorptive test on you called the Heidelberg test. It tells us about your digestive enzyme production. If you're not making the enzymes, you're not breaking the food down, so it can't get to the tiniest particles to be absorbed. You want to look at your hydrochloric acid levels. I would look at your hormones. Look at the whole picture.
Yeah.
So that's how we do the workup. We take your comments, document, write that down. I'll ask you a whole bunch of questions, examine you, do the big thorough blood test, test you for allergy if we think we need, do heavy metal testing. So we'll look at a wide range of things.
Right.
You know?
Okay. Yeah.
Already?
The heat seems to be bothering. That's really what bothers me.
Well, that's not the answer. That's the comment. The comment, you know, your symptom is the heat bothers me. What's causing the heat to bother you?
Right.
You know, so there are things going on, you know, that you can't see inside your body behind the scenes that are creating that. So that's how I would look at it. Look at every possible underlying cause.
Right.
Take a look at the website, of course. Give us a call at the office. We'd love to help you out. Website's drcal.net. The office is 516-794-0404. It's Garden City. Plainview is 516-433-3232. Let's go next to Marty. How are you, Marty?
Yes, thank you. I have retinitis pigmentosa. I was wondering how effective stem cell therapy might.
Well, there's a good amount of research on stem cells for eye disorders, including retinitis pigmentosa. And probably about 3 or 4 months ago, a person called in and asked that same question. I haven't seen a patient yet with retinitis pigmentosa, so I can't tell you, you know, by personal experience with what I've done. But I tell patients, I'm relatively new to the research that's been around for 150 years. So I think if you look at research, and you can go to Google or scholar.google and look at bone marrow stem cell therapy for retinitis pigmentosa, or autologous, which means from your own body, bone marrow stem cell therapy for retinitis pigmentosa, you'll see a good amount of research. I remember doing that when I was on the computer with that one person. I think it was one of the first callers. So I had time to get on the computer and quickly screen for it. I think you'll see the literature there. Now, there's no protocol to inject stem cells into your eye. None. Whether or not they're starting to do that in Europe, I don't know. I haven't seen any literature on it. But I don't think you have to. I think if you do intravenous, you can get some of the stem cells to your eye. Because I know we've had diabetics with retinopathy that's had improvement. And diabetic retinopathy is progressively horrible. They've had dramatic improvement in their eye. I know other patients where we've done intravenous and nasal, where we've done the second dose in a nasal nebulizer for a variety of disorders, including MS, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, stroke, and they've had visual improvement. So we know it gets to the eye. So I think that there's sort of that standard comment that stem cells have only one job, to go where there's damage and replace damaged cells with new cells. So that's why I think it may very well be of benefit. But I can't predict, you know, how much damage you have. I can't predict what day you'd start to have benefit.
Right. All right, well, I've looked at visceral adipose tissue is not quite as good as bone marrow, right?
Bone marrow is better, by far.
Okay.
Because of the sheer numbers of stem cells.
Oh,
and now, with even a new closed system where we extract with a syringe, nothing touches, nothing, you know, gets near the bone marrow and the fluid. We put it through a filter that's sterile to another syringe that's sterile. That goes to a sterile centrifuge vial. In years past, we would take that the syringe, go into an enclosed hood, a downflow hood, which was sterile, open a jar, put the bone marrow in, then close it. Now, they've brought it to a much easier, but a completely sterile mechanism, and we think it's working better. We think we're getting more stem cells from that.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it may be a little hard to describe, but it's just, you know how you put a needle on a syringe and you twist it? It's called
right.
The lure lock. It's a little twist on the tip of the syringe. That's how these things attach. So there's no air, nothing touches it. It just goes from one syringe through the filter to the other syringe to the centrifuge vial. And we spin it. So I think it's the greatest, you know, discovery in all of, you know, history, medical health, or otherwise.
So the nasal infusion you might have might be a much better bet.
Well, we like to do nasal because I was taught that that will directly deliver them to the brain. Because when you lay on your back and we drip the stem cell liquid into your nose, they're just hitting the back of your nasal cavity and going into your blood vessels and getting to your brain. We know that. That's been documented. Also by the results that my patients have had. So we know that.
Mm.
So we do IV and nasal together. That's how it's done.
Okay.
All righty. Take a look at the website. You'll see some amazing videos and articles. Thank you for your call. Website's drcal.net, www.drcal.net. Let's go next to Joan. Hi there. How are you?
Yes, thank you, doctor. I've had trouble with my back for many years with herniated discs and spinal stenosis and everything.
Okay.
And occasionally it keeps going out on me. But about 2 years ago, I think I walked too far and pulled a muscle.
Okay.
Since then, every so often I get a horrible sticking pain, like you stuck a needle right into me.
Yeah, so the nerves that are in and around the bottom of your rib that go from the back around to the front, if your rib pulls back because the muscle's pulling on it, and it just sits a little bit off its little resting place on the bone, and that we call a popped rib, that can give you a persistent pain and look like it's swollen because you feel a little bit of a bump across the area, sort of a large inconsistency with the normal shape of your back. So sometimes stretching and either adjustment, osteopathic or chiropractic will help. When you talk about having disc issues and strain, if your ligaments get weak, now the vertebrae can grind down on the disc and cause disc degeneration or herniation. So ligament correction, either platelet-rich plasma therapy or stem cell therapy, might be ideal to create strength again in those ligaments and tendons that attach to muscle or attach bone to bone. So I would probably look to see, once I evaluate or examine you, check your range of motion, look to see what's going on, start doing some therapy to try and make your ligaments stronger, and then as soon as that starts to take, start doing physical therapy to get the muscles to be stretched and constantly in a good place, in good range of motion.
Because now, doctor, that my back went out on me, I could feel the swelling, and I lost my range of motion. I mean,
yeah, of course, because your muscles in spasm. I just gave you a whole discussion of how we could, you know, correct that. So that's not difficult to correct. So we need to see what's going on. So either doing an MRI in the area would be the best test, because X-ray only shows the outline of the bone. But an MRI would be a great test to do in that area. And then based upon that, we'd make some recommendations to correct your ligaments and tendons, and then start doing physical therapy to create some stretching in the muscles.
And you think you could make my back stronger and bring back my range?
Yeah, with each of those things, yes. We've done it before. I'm an osteopathic physician, and we invented adjustments in physical medicine. And I love chiropractic adjustments. One of my great friends is a chiropractor. I go to him when my back is out. Chiropractic was developed after osteopathic medicine, I think 50 or 60 years or so afterwards. But again, I also want to look at your vitamins, your minerals, your hormones. Is everything else in your body doing well? Because you may have more spasm in your back if your magnesium, potassium, or calcium is low. And when I look at those, I look at the red blood cell, which is a more accurate test than just the serum level. But take a look at the website. You'll see some great info, great articles, great videos. And of course, the phone numbers are there, but you could also call the office at 516-794-0404. The website's drcal.net, drcal.net. Thanks for your call.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Let's go next to Bren in Morristown. How are you?
Hi, doctor.
Yes.
Your story with Linus Pauling sound like you did some time traveling. It was
fascinating. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, I heard you talk about vitamin C. Well, what I have is it's ester C. And there's someone who takes it because they have, neuropathy from a back operation. But could you tell me what the proportions are for the bioflavonoids?
There's really no proportions. It's not as though there's a 1-to-1 or 2 or 3-to-1. You can't rely on just vitamin C for neuropathy of your back. You have to understand exactly what's happening with the back. Is it weak ligaments that allow disc degeneration? Is it neuropathy where there is nerve degeneration or damage? Usually a nerve conduction test would tell that. If the nerve signal or passage of the nerve through the tissues is slower because of damage, I might rather use alpha-lipoic acid, but do that intravenously, because there's proven documentation that alpha-lipoic acid intravenously can help to decrease the discomfort and the inflammatory nature of neuropathy. When I mentioned before about vitamin C, alpha-lipoic acid, vitamin D, many things might help, but we still have to understand what the cause is.
Well, they're under a doctor's care, and...
Yeah, but they're not under a nutritional doctor's care. They're doing the things and talking about what I talk about.
That's true, doctor.
You know, I mean, I don't want to, you know, talk badly about any doctor or approach, but they're not doing the same evaluation, and that's why we get such great results, because we're looking at so much more, and we're learning so much more.
Are you near New Jersey? Are you somewhere in New Jersey, Morris County?
No, I'm in... Garden City is my main office, and in Plainview on Long Island is my other satellite office. So it's about a half hour east of Manhattan, so right on the other side of the city.
Well, my only last question, is it okay to take hesperidin, rutin, and these other flavonoids that comes with the vitamin?
Yeah, they usually come with it. I think they're good. They're actually good for blood vessels, for the intima, the lining of the blood vessels. So I think that makes sense.
Well, I just want to thank you for your call screener.
You're very kind. Thank you so much.
Thank you, doctor.
Okay, have a wonderful day.
Oh, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Phone lines are open. You can call in to ask a question, 1-800-848-WABC. We're getting down to the last 8 minutes or so of the program, so if you'd like to call in, do so now, 1-800-848-WABC. We just did a few more videos on patients the other day, with some spectacular results, and tomorrow and Tuesday I'll be speaking to those patients again. We had a couple of patients that, one with dementia, Alzheimer's, that's had a pretty dramatic improvement in his word recall, number recall, movement. He had a dropped foot. Now the foot is working so well, he's able to chase after his son's dog. Some pretty amazing things. Another patient who became diabetic and really described that doing the therapy, stem cell therapy, has really changed his life and, you know, turned his life around. And another lovely lady with COPD that's had dramatic improvement. She couldn't walk to go get groceries, and now she's walking all over the place. So we'll get those up online relatively soon. I think we have another four people to interview as well, so we're going to set those up in the next couple of weeks. Okay, phone lines are open. Call in now to ask a question. Don't wait. Let's go to Sonia in New Jersey. How are you?
Hi, doctor. I'm from New Jersey, and I'm seeing a psychiatrist who's not talking to me since 40 years.
He's not talking to you?
My doctors don't talk to me, and I pay them handsomely.
All right, so I'm not understanding why the psychiatrist is not talking to you.
I don't know. They say monetary value is not enough paid.
That doesn't make sense to me. You know, I have to tell you one thing. When I did my rotations at a hospital on Long Island when I was in medical school, and we went to psychiatric floor to do rotations, the doctor would gather a bunch of patients in the room and the students, and he wouldn't say anything. And I didn't know if that was some sort of therapy or he just wanted people to sort of come out on their own and talk. But it drove me crazy because we sat there for 45 minutes and nobody would talk. And I didn't want to break the ice and start talking because I didn't think it was my place. But I guess there's some sort of therapy where they don't really talk. They want you to come out with what you want to talk about. Now, I don't know if the doctors are doing that or not. I can't imagine, but...
I don't like the medication they're giving me. It's causing asthma attacks.
Well, then you have to be evaluated. We have to fully evaluate with our big blood test. We have to look at your circulatory, maybe the allergy components, cardiovascular. You know, look at all these things, heavy metals, vitamin levels, to see where we can help to make you better or healthier. A lot of people that have psychiatric concerns or symptoms really have nutritional deficiencies and hormone decline. So I would certainly like to help you out. You just have to give us a call at the office.
Where is your office located?
In Garden City.
In Garden
City,
Long
Island, yeah. Garden City, New York.
Dr. Santiago?
No.
They went to school with me at Fairfield University. It's semi-Ivy.
Okay.
And they're all psychiatrists and doctors' children. And then I got on the wrong company track.
Yeah, I'm not really sure I could comment about that, but if you can, give us a call to the office, 516-794-0404, or the website's drcal.net, and we'd love to help you out. Thank you for your call. Let's go next to Ron in Edison. How are you?
Yeah, hi, Doc. Good. How are you, Dr. Cal?
Yes, sir. Great.
A question on Hashimoto's, okay?
Yep.
I've been, you know, I've had it for years, and I know it's an autoimmune disease that attacks the thyroid. But the question I have is this. if you don't know, like, if you really a supplement, from what I understand, doesn't really help it. If you even if you take thyroid
Correct.
Medication, because it still attacks it. So,
well,
what exactly?
What you're doing, what most doctors would agree to do, is if you have antibodies attacking your own thyroid, to give you thyroid that your body wouldn't recognize as you, so it wouldn't attack it. So traditionally, doctors would use T4 or Synthroid or levothyroxine. I don't recommend just using T4. I like T3 and T4. So you get a much better result because that's what your body has required. Now, every patient I've ever seen that's been on only T4, when we've done the full thyroid panel, which I do 12 tests on instead of just two, the T4 and TSH, we see that their T3 is low. And then when we correct them with a better thyroid, they have far better energy, focus, concentration, hair, skin, nails, fat burning, cholesterol burning. So you may be able to decrease the burden of heavy metals because they're a major cause of autoimmune thyroid or Hashimoto's. Many people who have fillings in their teeth that are silver, the amalgams are 50% mercury. So mercury will embed into the thyroid and cause the autoimmune mechanism. Heavy metals are a major cause, probably the number one or number two cause for autoimmune disorders. Literature has been saying that for years. I even have a section of my website that talks about heavy metals, and you can see how that section goes through 206 different articles. It's sort of just below the videos, and it says heavy metal articles, and how the heavy metals damage every part of your body. So it'll be very important to look at heavy metals, remove them, and to give your body the thyroid so that it can function better.
Okay, and what about, too, if like a virus or something, couldn't that also be causing the attack?
Well, autoimmune disorders, and the other component is absolutely viruses. Epstein-Barr virus is linked with MS and lupus. So we know that there are viruses that trigger your body to attack itself. Even a bacteria could do that. So it's possible. But that's why we have to look at your blood thoroughly for heavy metals, blood and urine, viruses in your blood, vitamin levels, hormones, all of this.
Okay, and you're located in Long Island.
Garden City, yeah, about a half hour east of Manhattan. Most of our patients from out of the state come on Saturday, if that's of any help for you.
All right, I appreciate it.
Great. Take a look at the website. We'd love to help you out, drcal.net. And the phone number is 516-794-0404. Let's go to Roseanne in Danbury. How are you?
Hi, doctor.
Yes.
As I was just telling your call screener, my sister has glioblastoma, stage 4, and I was wondering about stem cell therapy.
I'm not an oncologist, but there are doctors who do stem cell therapy for cancer. So I don't know the list of what they do or what they would require in the evaluation of a patient to see if they could do the stem cells, but they've been using stem cell therapy for cancer for many, many years, very successfully. So what they do is they take the bone marrow out, spin it, and get the stem cells, use chemo and radiation, and then put the stem cells back in.
Okay.
But that's typically a doctor that's in the hospital all the time. You know, his office is in the hospital because he has to monitor all those patients that typically have to be in the hospital for a few weeks or a month.
Right. Well, you know, she's been under care, but she stopped taking she refused to take the chemo anymore because she's really sick all the time. And
yeah, of course. I mean, most people feel that way.
Yeah. The other thing is the stem cell therapy in the States any different than what you would get? Because I've been hearing something about Panama.
Yeah. No, Panama, you would never want to go to Panama for anything. I mean, I don't know much about the country anyway, but you'd never want to go to Panama because they use umbilical cord, amniotic fluid. You want your own stem cells, nothing else. Bone marrow, nothing else. Thank you so much for your call. Thanks for listening, friends. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. I'll be back live again Saturday morning, 8 to 9 on the amazing WABC. The phone number is 516-794-0404. DrCal.net's the website. Plainview, 516-433-3232. Bye-bye now.